Hello and welcome to this bonus destination special of the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Holly Rubenstein, and yes, I'm back for a second time this week as we continue to celebrate California and all it has to offer, today bringing to life one of my personal favorite spots, Greater Palm Springs. I was there back in 2019 as part of a much bigger US road trip, which took me through all of California. And it's one of the places I think about most when I'm daydreaming about far off lands. It is nestled in the heart of California's Coachella Valley, a couple of hours drive from LA, and it's a desert oasis that has been capturing the hearts of travelers for generations. It's where 1950s celebrities like Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley spent their weekends playing golf on championship courses and wining and dining the desert night away. With that Rat Pack spirit still lingering in the air, it has a unique allure that draws you in from the moment you arrive. Picture an elegant city framed by the towering San Jacinto Mountains and lined with impossibly tall swaying palm trees. A nexus of natural beauty, wellness and culture, a living canvas of perfectly preserved mid-century modern architecture, offering such an intoxicating blend of nostalgia and sophistication. I'm joined today by Stephen Biller. He's a Palm Springs legend, having edited Palm Springs Life magazine for over 20 years. And we uncover his Greater Palm Springs travel diaries, his all-time favorites, his hidden gems, and top recommendations as someone who knows it so well. From its food and art scenes to its wild outdoors and hiking trails, there is so much to experience in Greater Palm Springs. I really hope you enjoy getting a flavor of it now. So let's get started. Stephen Biller, welcome to the Travel Diaries and to this Greater Palm Springs Destination Special. It's so nice to see you with that lovely Palm Springs print behind you. How are you?
Very good. Good morning from Palm Springs, California. Oh,
I am rather envious of your situation today out there. So what's it like out there today?
It's a hard life. It's a really hard life. It's in the high 60 degrees here, Fahrenheit, of course. I don't want to scare anybody. We're just teetering our way into the season and getting excited because everything's about to start. All the great events, Modernism Week, October, and it just kicks it all off. So we're very excited over here.
Exciting. Brilliant. Well, I mean, you mentioned it, Modernism Week. That was one thing that I was going to come on to later in the discussion. But, you know, tell me, what can we expect from Modernism Week in Palm Springs? Because it's such a big, you know, event in the greater calendar.
Yeah, well, you know, Palm Springs has the highest concentration of mid-century modern architecture in the West, probably the entire United States. Architects came to experiment here. They were designing in the 40s, in the 50s predominantly, and into the 60s as well. And doing things that they might not be able to do in Los Angeles or other parts of California or the United States, but they could do it here. And the architecture was uniquely responsive to the environment. Mm. And of course, this is a very extreme environment. So you tend to see a lot of deep overhangs on the roof lines that provide shade and really thoughtful design that was also very minimal and practical. No frills. These were largely weekend places for movie stars, and then in the mid-70s and into the 80s and early 90s, they started to fall into disrepair. They were not desirable properties, and now of course you can't even touch them. They're multi-million dollar properties now, and
because there's such a newfound appreciation for what pieces of architectural history they are, and also because of how much Palm Springs has developed as a broader area?
Well, yeah, I think that the second generation of architects that was working out here, the modern architecture, I should say, because there were people working in the Spanish colonial style and other adobe styles that preceded mid-century modern, of course. But the second generation of mid-century modern architects still working today really took the tenets of those modernist principles and the minimalist design and the practicality and the indoor-outdoor seamlessness.
And low-rise as well. Right.
Very low slung so you don't interfere with the mountain views. And then that seamless indoor-outdoor design so the sun is always shining in, but you're also getting that thoughtful protection from the sun where it's necessary. It's really thoughtful. So you're right. The appreciation did come back. And now it's like a sport, you know, the people are jockeying for the best properties on the market. And then there's almost a pride in ownership that you want to bring it back to its original state. And there are awards for that, you know, so right this month, in fact, in October, there are the preservation awards and they celebrate the owners and the architects and the designers who restore these properties and bring them back to their original glory. And so you were asking about Modernism Week. So this is the opportunity for everybody to come check it out because it's the one time you can come and go inside so many of these amazing homes and also go to lectures and there's a symposium, there's great parties. I mean, the parties are off the rails. I mean, everybody's decked out in 60s and 70s fashion and all the ladies are out in their Pucci design. Oh, it's just
amazing. Phenomenal.
It's so much fun. Yeah.
So you're saying that a lot of these houses open their doors just once a year so that in Modernism Week so that people can get a sneak peek into how they are.
Right. So, and it happens in February is the main Modernism Week. And there was always what we called a Modernism Week preview that would happen in October. And that was largely to give the media an opportunity, but it got so big and popular that now they took away the preview name and it's just called Modernism Week October.
And it's, okay, so you have a couple of opportunities each year.
Right.
Fantastic.
And they're not the same. There are a couple of things that do overlap, but for the most part, they're very different experiences, but with the same spirit.
And as somebody who visited Palm Springs quite recently, also because I love mid-century modern architecture myself, one thing that I think is a great recommendation for visitors, like when they have arrived in the area in the first day or two, is to take one of the tours that you can do, the mid-century modern tours that are on offer in the area, which really gives you a good, even deeper understanding of, you know, why mid-century modern architecture is so big in Palm Springs. And it's just great fun in the environment that it is.
Right. There are tours that occur at several points throughout the year that you can take. And there's also a Modernism app that you can download.
Oh, how cool.
And, you know, right now we're producing a guide to Albert Frey's properties. I'm the editorial director at Palm Springs Life magazine. I've been here for 21 years, a little bit over 21 years, which is incredible.
Amazing. An institution.
Yeah. So I joined the magazine as editorial director back in 2002. And I came here on a recommendation of a friend who said, you should go check out Palm Springs. You're going to love it. And I came here in May. The sky was impossibly blue. I remember pulling into town and parking at Palm Springs Life. And I was early for my interview. So I started walking around downtown. And the first thing that went through my mind is this does not look real. The mountains looked like a fake Photoshop job over this impossibly blue sky. It was incredible. And I just walked around looking at these people walking around town thinking, you people live here? This is incredible.
And beyond downtown Palm Springs, you know, we're talking today about all of Greater Palm Springs, which encapsulates national parks. I mean, what are some of the other scenery that visitors to the area could expect to experience?
Well, if you love the outdoors, the desert will surprise you with its opportunities. People think the desert is just this wide open, barren nothingness. And that's just not the case. Even when you are out in the big, barren nothingness, it's still alive. So to answer that question, the Coachella Valley, which is where you'll find the city of Palm Springs and this valley of nine connected cities, that is surrounded by mountains. So that's how we become a valley. And the mountain range, the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains range, is a national monument. So you can't develop on it. It's protected. It's so beautiful. It's why we live here. It's why people visit here. They can't really articulate it, but you take those mountains away and we're not the same place. Those mountains make this place. So, and you can access those mountains in so many ways. You can take the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, which is one of my favorite things to do. And not as a visitor. I live here and I've been here for 21 years. I still go up that tramway 5-6 times a summer because I hike at the top. There's many trails that you can take, and some easy and some really aggressive. It's an incredible experience. My partner and I are big hikers and we love this area so much.
And what's amazing, if you take that tramway, isn't it, is that you could be down at your, by the hotel pool, and it's in the mid, suddenly when I was there, it was like 97, which is, I think, like high 30s centigrade.
Right.
And then you take the tramway up there and it's chilly.
Right. It's usually about 40 degrees cooler, because when you go up, you're going up 8,600 feet.
It's so high.
it's an incredible experience. The ride up is so beautiful, and it's narrated so you can learn a little bit about the terrain, because you pass through 7 life zones on the way up, which only happens in that spot in all of California, I think in all of United States,
where you can. So, what does that mean?
So, you'll see the plant life changes dramatically from these different areas, and you're zooming up at this speed, and you're just seeing this dramatic change so quickly, from raw desert, at the bottom, and by the time you're at the top, it's you're in alpine territory, and there's often snow up there when you're up there. So it's just an incredible stretch where you get to see these different life zones, and you see the plants and the animals. You don't really see too many animals because that area where you're going up is quite steep. So, but you will see the plant life change dramatically on the way
up. So if you're into hiking, I mean, it's really such an incredible destination to go on a vacation.
Oh yeah, you can.
There are so many opportunities and in various landscapes.
So the tram is only one way to access that mountain. Throughout the entire Coachella Valley, you can access it in the Indian Canyons, which is another place to go spend an entire day hiking. They have over 60 miles of hiking trails just in the Indian Canyons, which is in the nook of South Palm Springs. It connects the San Jacinto Mountains to the west to the Santa Rosa Mountains, which pick up right adjacent to it. And in that little crevice is the world's largest naturally occurring palm oasis.
Wow.
And it is spectacular, and you can hike right down to it. And it's just, the trails are accessible. It's easy. You're not going to get lost. You can park your car. It's just magic.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb. We've already, of course, covered some fantastic highlights of Palm Springs, but as somebody who's been based there for such a long time and who cares about it so passionately, I'm so excited to uncover your greater Palm Springs travel diaries today, Stephen. So we're going to cover like a few chapters like we do on the full-length episodes, slightly abridged format. We begin with chapter one, and that's the first place that you fell in love with in Greater Palm Springs.
Certainly the first place I fell in love with Palm Springs was the Indian Canyons. And I remember the first time driving through the canyon in between these large rocks and maneuvering my car into this one particular pass through that I just didn't think my car should go, but I got it through. And I'm so glad I did. And now, of course, you can get through this. It's not a hard thing. Everybody does it. But, you know, it's a little funky when you're going for the first time. It's just one of those wow moments. Yeah. So you get through this incredible drive just to get to the trailhead of the Palm Canyon Trail, which is the one that brings you down into the largest palm oasis in the United States. I remember parking my car and just looking around, just thinking, oh my God, I've never been in a place that looked like this before. You can't see the town. You know, you're in nature. There's, you can't see downtown Palm Springs or anything. Yeah. You know, you're in the wilderness. But it's just incredible, most unlikely, improbable wilderness that you would expect in the middle of the desert. And of course, the ancient Kaweah Indian tribe, this was their home. You know, this is where they would find their food, their water, their shade. And it's very much today. You can go down when you're in the oasis, you can find a couple of reconstructions of what they call quiche, which are the little hut structures that they lived in. And the Agua Caliente tribe is. Still here and active. There are about 500 members of the tribe, but their enterprise in a community defies their size. The tribe is an incredible good neighbor and economic powerhouse here. They are a magnet for tourism because not only do they have these incredible Indian canyons that you can hike through. You know, you can come for a week and hike in the Indian canyons every day and never hit the same trail. It's incredible. And I live right by it. This is in my backyard. It's incredible.
You're so lucky.
I love it. We're in there all the time. But the tribe also owns three casinos, one in Rancho Mirage, one in Palm Springs, and one in Cathedral City, all part of the Coachella Valley here. very close together. And they have another enterprise that is going to blow people's minds that opens on November 3rd, and that's the Agua Caliente Cultural Plaza. And this has a state-of-the-art spa. And the spa, the whole site of the cultural plaza, sits on an ancient hot mineral spring that has been feeding this site since time immemorial. And this is the centerpiece of Cahuilla, Agua Caliente, Cahuilla life. It sustained them, and it still arguably does. So this brand new spa has 21 or 22 private rooms, bathing tubs, where you can take these hot mineral waters, just mineral-rich hot waters, and it soothes your muscles, it eases pain, it has all of these healthful benefits.
Mm.
It's good for your skin.
How fascinating. So that's opening soon. It's just an extension of the fact that Palm Springs has for decades been a wellness destination, hasn't it? I mean, the clean, dry air is what attracted, you know, people out of LA back, you know, when it
at
had
the
its
turn,
first big boom.
At the turn of the century in 1901, you were already seeing the TB folks, or the lungers, as some people call them. Everybody would come out here because the air is nice and dry, the climate is cool, and you can get healthy out here. And in 1909, Nellie Kaufman, Mother Nellie, as we know her here in Palm Springs, opened a Desert Inn, which is a sanitarium, which is where people would come and get healthy. And that turned into a resort, a very, very luxurious resort that for another couple of generations welcome movie stars and captains of industry and other, you know, luminaries from East Coast and West Coast and abroad.
And so I guess so easily combined, if you were staying in one of the kind of famous, you know, hotels or properties in kind of the more downtown area, that, you know, you can have the cool mid-century vibe, you can have the cool shops and the amazing food scene and all of that, and then you can combine it with going to something completely different, and it's just really so close.
Yeah, you know, the old timers in town still call it the village, you know.
The village, I like that. It has a villagey feel. I see
it
what
does.
They mean.
It does. It's a walkable city, you know, which is very desirable, because when the weather's this beautiful, the last thing you want to do is get in transportation. You know, you want to walk around and be outside and enjoy it. So, you know, in the Indian Canyons, it's just like you say, you could be downtown and staying in one of these cool mid-century modern boutique hotels, has maybe 10, 12 rooms in it, and just really taking in that vibe with the classic. It's not just the architecture, but the furnishings, is beautiful architecturally designed furnishings. You know, George Nelson and, you know, all of them. There's so many great, great designers, and we have them all. And you can go stay in these properties and sleep in those beds and sit in those chairs and dine in at those tables. And it's iconic. I mean, it's like Charles Eames and, you know, all the biggest names in design are at your fingertips in this place. And then you're right. You can have a completely different experience going into just walking around the little what they call the tennis club district right behind downtown. And it's all walkable. So if you're downtown walking, you just go behind the shops and suddenly you're in a tennis club neighborhood. And you can just see that great mix of mid-century modern and Spanish colonial and adobe. There's a great property called the Caracchia Pension. Are you familiar with that one?
No, tell me about it.
So it goes back into the 1910s or 1920s. And it was originally the home of an early desert painter named Gordon Coots. And all of these years later, it's a boutique hotel that hasn't changed a whole lot from its original design. And it's a spectacular experience. It's just so quiet, and it's right in the foothill of the San Jacinto Mountain, and you can walk to anywhere downtown. This place is my favorite property in the desert. It really is.
Is it? So yeah. have you very cleverly segued us onto chapter two here, which is because those are your all-time favorites. We're doing favorite hotel, favorite restaurant, and like maybe a kind of broader kind of favorite destination within the greater Palm Springs area. So might that be your favorite hotel?
Yeah, it's not mid-century modern, and it's a very distinctive experience. You're going back to old Palm Springs, and the owners of the property really appreciate what they have. They know what they have in that property. And like I said, it's walkable. You can go to any restaurant downtown, or you know, if you want to, you're in this modest little property. And if you want to go have dinner at the top of, you know, the Kimpton Rowan property, and the rooftop restaurant's called Four Saints, and you can just walk there from your property and go to the top of this brand new luxurious hotel and have dinner on the rooftop and not even get in your car, not take a cab or anything. It's just right there.
I mean, for me, I stayed in a few different properties when I came to visit, and my all-time favorite hotel was L'Horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is spelt L apostrophe horizon,
right,
if you wanted to look it up.
And a very good restaurant there as well.
Oh yeah. The best. What I really loved about it was that it again was just this incredible mid-century building, a William F. Cody building, and it being so, like you talked about with so many of the properties, there's such a pride in the history and the heritage that it had just been so lovingly restored, and it just felt as though that you were getting to experience the vibe of what it was like when Marilyn Monroe was staying there and all these, like, you know, Hollywood icons. And it's just a really cool boutique vibe, isn't it?
It really is. And the diversity in properties is surprising as well. I walk from my place to go to the Ace Hotel and Swim Club. I have my own pool. I have my own. I don't need to go to, but I love the vibe there. So I joined the swim club, and I get to, you know, I could walk to this property and feel like I'm on vacation, you know, and eat at the King's Highway restaurant there and spend an afternoon at the pool and vibe to the music that they're playing and the DJs that are out by the pool. And it's, you know, I get to enjoy it too. Just because I live here doesn't mean I can't have that vacation vibe. And so
it's a very, very, like, I think it was interesting when I said that I was going to Palm Springs, a few of my friends said, gosh, isn't that a place where like old people go and play golf? And I was like, oh, really? I think it's a kind of really hip, cool, you know, trendy, arty place. So it's a destination that appeals to all age demographics and all different tastes of what you want out of a trip, because yeah, there are great golf courses there, and you know, the older demographic may really love how warm it is you know, the lifestyle there. But also, you know, some of these hotels that you mentioned, like the Ace Hotel, L'Horizon, you know, it appeals to everyone.
Yeah. And you know, since the pandemic, the golfers are getting younger. They needed something to do, and a lot of them took up golf. And we're seeing that. We're definitely seeing a younger golfer coming out to play out here. It's so beautiful, and you know, the younger they are, the more appreciative it seems they are of the outdoors and the nature of it all, because they're also hikers you know, I'm running into these people hiking and I, you know, oh, where are you from? And well, we're out here on a golfing trip. I'm like, this is a long way from the golf course, you know, but, people are coming out here because it's got a great spa culture. We have natural hot springs here. And a huge variety of healthful pursuits, wellness pursuits.
Sure.
So it is definitely a destination for that set. Certainly the hikers and rock climbers. Rock climbers love to come out to Joshua Tree National Park. There's the Joshua Tree Rock Climbing School that you can go and spend a few days and do some guided climbs and
an iconic national park as well. I mean,
it really
we haven't
is.
Even brought that to life yet. But I mean, you know, this is like Dr. Seuss style landscape, like crazy, photogenic, wild.
Incredible rock formations and plant life that you won't see outside of the Mojave Desert.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, otherworldly environment. I have done every major hike and most of the minor hikes in that park over just over the pandemic to now. I've re-stepped every one of those trails and spend a great time writing about them because it's just so much fun.
Do you have
that.
A favorite trail in Joshua Tree that you would say for if you had like a day one, if you were staying in Palm Springs, but you wanted to do a day trip out to Joshua Tree and do a lovely walk, what would you recommend?
Well, a lovely walk and an aggressive hike are definitely two different things. I'll give you one of each though.
But I do feel like Americans as a generalization refer to all walks as hikes.
We're very lazy people here, you know. we like to sit around and eat, you know.
We'll come on to that in a second. I want to know your favorite restaurant.
But a lovely walk in Joshua Tree, I would say there's an ocotillo patch. Ocotillos are these long spiny cactus-looking plants. They're not cactus, but they're spiny plants, and there's a whole field of them. There's also another patch, choya patch, when these look like the little teddy bear cactus, they call them. And you can't touch any of these things because they poke back at you. But they're beautiful, especially at sunrise and sunset, to see the light hitting these things. The sun backlighting a choya plant is the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. And there's a whole field, endless sea of these beautiful plants. And I think that's a lovely walk. This is all on the south side of Joshua Tree National Park. There are three patches. There's the ocotillo plants, the choya plants, and there's also a smoke tree patch. And smoke trees are these beautiful shrubs, basically, that you typically find in sandy washes around the mountains. But in Joshua Tree, on this particular part of Joshua Tree National Park, there's a whole field of them. And they bloom in this purple flower, and they call them smoke trees because from a distance they look like puffs of smoke. And painters, the landscape painters, have such a hard time painting them. So for a lovely walk, I would say the south side of Joshua Tree National Park, you'll find at least those three lovely walks. For a more aggressive hike, I would go up into the west entrance of the park, the Joshua Tree National Park. And although you can find a lovely walk at Barker Dam, which is probably the most popular easy hike, beautiful scenic, there's water, there's rock formations, there's everything you would expect to see in Joshua Tree National Park is at Barker Dam, and it's an easy loop. I would also recommend Ryan Mountain, which is a bit of a tougher climb, but you get everything. You're going to see wildlife, you're going to have a nice workout climbing this massive rock formation. You're going to get out to a peak, and from the peak on a clear day, you can see all the way out to the Salton Sea, which is probably an hour south and is a sea in the middle of the desert, which is a story unto itself. It was caused by a break in the Colorado River back in 1905, and for 18 months, the Colorado ran wild and filled what they call the Salton Basin, which today is still the Salton Sea, which has no outlet and no water coming in. And so it's slowly shrinking and evaporating, which is a whole problem into itself.
But there's still water there.
There is still water there.
Oh, goodness me. And all-time faves, the food scene in Palm Springs, the greater Palm Springs, is a vibe. It is. There's so many choices. If you had to pick your all-time favorite restaurant, where would you tell us to go today?
Oh, boy. That is a really, really hard question. I like Johannes, which is a schnitzel place. Mm-hmm. The chef is just great. You don't have to get schnitzel. They have other things on the menu, but the food is, it's downtown Palm Springs. You can watch the street action if you want. You can sit outside if you want, but it's a beautiful dining room. It's casual, you know. It's not too upscale, but it is. The food is very upscale. They have a great curry dish that I love. Of course, the schnitzel, thoughtful wine list. It's just really, really well put together. You know, lovely hostess, and it's just a wonderful experience. And it's intimate. You're not too crowded. You get great service. The food is always just first class. So I tend to like to go there for special occasions. But Spencer's at the Mountain is also great. There's a new place called Sol y Sombra, which is in Cathedral City, which is right next to Palm Springs, at the Paloma Resort. It's the restaurant there. And I love this place. It's all Mediterranean Spanish dishes and a beautiful paella they make. I would definitely go and get the paella.
Such a varied cuisine that's on offer in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
The SoCal cuisine as well as, you know, so much more.
It really is. And more and more so. I think that chefs kind of like being here. They have a good appreciative audience.
Yeah.
So we're seeing definitely a lot more chefs wanting to come here and stay.
Yeah, I can imagine. And our penultimate chapter, Stephen, is chapter 3, and that's your hidden gem. So a place that, I mean, as an aficionado of the area, you must have a few hidden gems. What's a secret spot that you love?
So I have two that I like to share.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
One of them is Cabot's Pueblo Museum. Cabot Yerxa was an adventurer, an artist, a traveler, and a pioneer in Desert Hot Springs, which is just north of Palm Springs. It's known as the Spa City, and Cabot Yerxa is the one that discovered both the hot and cold mineral spas in Desert Hot Springs. And he made it his life's mission to build this pueblo, which still exists today. It has 37 rooms. It's a massive structure that you can tour. The grounds are beautiful. Events occur up there, little festivals, there's music. They have artists at the Pueblo, events where you can come and see native artists working their crafts that you can learn about and buy. It's a fun little place, and it's a great little escape from the real world. And the other hidden gem is actually a drive, and it's a drive through Box Canyon. Box Canyon is on the eastern edge of the Coachella Valley, just north of the Salton Sea. And so it's in a town called Mecca. So if you, the easternmost city in the Coachella Valley is Coachella. So from Coachella, if you drive south, the next town is going to be Mecca. So you go east into Mecca over the railroad tracks and into Box Canyon. And Box Canyon is about the most jaw-dropping, beautiful, natural canyon that I've camped out there. I've hiked out there.
Really?
But you don't even have to stop. It is just driving through it is like entering another world. And it's not very long. It's a few miles. And, you know, just slow down and enjoy it. If you're coming from the direction that I just described, starting in Coachella, it will lead you, the road will lead you to Interstate 10, the major freeway. So it's easy to get back to Palm Springs from there. If you go past the freeway on that road, then you're driving into Joshua Tree National Park, the south entrance.
Oh, right.
So if you've got the whole day and you want to see some great outdoors and you don't mind being in your car for a while, it's the most beautiful drive you'll ever have. You can see all of the eastern part of the Coachella Valley and up into Joshua Tree National Park, and you can take that all the way through the national park and out into 29 Palms, and then you can see all of the high desert, 29 Palms, Joshua Tree, Yucca Valley, and Morongo Valley on your way back to Palm Springs.
I'm so annoyed I didn't do that the last time I was there. That is such a, sounds like such a great route.
Let me know next time you're coming. Yeah.
I will. Oh, hopefully soon. Oh, thank you so much. So much for your time, Stephen. It's been so evocative and made me want to go back to Palm Springs so much. We end with chapter 4, which is the place that's at the top of your travel bucket list in the greater Palm Springs area. Where haven't you been that you're looking to tick off?
There aren't too many places I haven't been. Fortunately, you know, when you're the editor of Palm Springs Life magazine, you eventually find your way to everything. There are a couple of restaurants I'm eager to try. But in terms of adventure, I want to spend some more time up in the Mojave Desert, which is just to our north. There's so much to do. The Kelso Dunes, there's so many off the grid art exhibitions to see up there.
Yeah.
That's something that I think is spectacular about the desert is artists love this place. We have
the
desert
light. Yeah.
We have Desert X, which is an exhibition of site specific art that takes place every other year across the entire desert. It's art out on the land that you can go and experience and everybody can access it. There's no ticket or anything. You just go and you see things in the context of the environment instead of the white walls of a gallery. And it's spectacular.
So cool.
It's spectacular.
So transportative.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for your time, Stephen. Thank you for sharing your Palm Springs travel diaries with us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, I hope that has given you a flavor of what a fantastic destination Greater Palm Springs is. When you next head to California, you have got to add it to your itinerary. Trust me. Thank you to Stephen Biller for joining me. You can find out more about Palm Springs at palmspringslife.com and your favorite travel guides and magazines. And of course, always on the Tourist Board website too. In this case, it's visitgreaterpalmsprings.com. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe, or if you use Apple Podcasts, to press follow so that a new episode lands in your podcast app each week. If you want to be the first to find out who is joining me on next week's episode, come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein, and you'll also find me on Threads and TikTok. I'd love to hear from you. And if you can't wait until next week, remember, there's the first 9 seasons to catch up on. That's over 100 episodes to keep you busy there. Don't forget that all the destinations mentioned by my guests are included in the episode show notes here on your podcast app and listed on my website, thetraveldiariespodcast.com. Thanks again, everyone. Take care, and I'll be back next week. Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like, last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.